Now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror!
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, ooh, wow. Ew. Hi, totally uninvited horror interlopers. I was just sitting here, preparing for the next episode. I was watching Ken Russell's The Devils, the trailer for Ken Russell's The Devils, in preparation for the show, which is going to be all trailers of upcoming movies, is what I was doing here. What? Why are my pants off? All right, well, let's get going with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vault of Starling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am one of your hosts, Jason Jackanate, but I'm not alone. I am joined by, across your radio dial, OG Two True Freaks, Chris Honeywell.
In a world where I ran out of ideas and suggested a trailer show.
We are also joined by the hair metal hero, Chris Tyler.
Slow ahead. I can go slow ahead. Why don't you come down here and try chumming some of this shit?
And that laugh you hear is none other than my brother, Mr. Luke Giaconetti.
You know, there's an old saying that even a bad movie can find enough good scenes to fill a 2-minute trailer, right? So I think we're in good shape here tonight, guys.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing how many amazing trailers for bad movies there are.
For bad movies,
and then,
yes.
And then every once in a while you see a trailer that just doesn't show you anything, and the movie turns out to be, like, really kicking. You're like, damn, yeah. Bro, how did you not make a trailer this good? So, anyway, so we're going to talk about some new and upcoming
like Rollerball.
Horror movies.
You ever see the trailer for Rollerball? It's fucking terrible. Right?
The real
Rollerball. The trailer is awful. Yeah.
The real Rollerball, not that one with American Pie.
Not the one with Paul Heyman, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So go ahead, Jay.
All right. So, first movie we're going to talk about is the latest Evil Dead movie. Now, you're saying The Mummy? No. We're not talking about that movie, which is an Evil Dead movie, but not quite. Just saying. No, we're talking about Evil Dead Burn. Now, that trailer dropped. There's been a few trailers that have dropped for it. And then again, you might be listening to this, and that movie might be out. You're saying, hey, we know about this. This is speculation on what we're seeing in a trailer. So if that's a problem for you, build a bridge, get the fuck over it, and here we go. So, we know it's a period piece. We know that's kind of the idea about it. I think it's supposed to take place, I think that's what I read. It was supposed to take place before the original Evil Dead. You know, it's supposed to like 1972 or something like that, which I guess makes sense because you just can't keep pushing everything. I mean, we're getting to the point where after, Evil Dead Rise, I mean, that was modern day, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I guess you kind of could tell things in the past going forward with it. The trailer looks pretty brutal, every other Evil Dead movie's been. So we've had, I mean, I don't, I can say this. I'm sure there's going to be an unrated cut on Blu-ray or DVD at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Although I can honestly say the candle wax drinking scene probably didn't sit well with everybody. You should pour
the Well, it's probably going to be the next viral TikTok trend instead of the Tide Pods. I just drank hot wax.
Don't drink hot wax, mister.
Unless you're going to eat the insanity pepper. That's the only reason you'd have cause to put wax, hot wax.
We all went to the exact same place, folks. I think that speaks volumes about our, one, our overall makeup and our Simpson knowledge. But yeah, you know.
It's two alarms, three alarm tops. Dad, are you going to jail? We'll see, son. We'll see.
So, the Evil Dead, when the new Evil Dead came out, not Evil Dead Rise, but Evil Dead came out, and it featured, you know, the female, you know, is it, her name was Ash, too, right, whatever. Like, so the whole idea is that, like, when you watch that film, and I saw that in the theaters, that movie was harsh. And then you learn, wait, we have an unrated cut. And if you've never seen the unrated cut, you should watch it, because, bro.
You should.
That movie, I enjoy that movie a lot. It's just, my hands hurt watching it. And you'll know, if you've seen the movie, you know why. And, like, you just feel it. Everything, you feel everything in there. Evil Dead Rise, which I saw in the theaters also, had moments where I'm like, okay, all right. Like when she's up on the counter in the kitchen and stuff. Like this, it just makes you, even if you're a hardened horror fan, and it's not like, oh, I'm so disgusted, I'm going to throw up, right? It's like, I'm so scared. It just, things make you hurt in places. Like, it's like an audition.
You hurt, well, that one especially, you hurt in places, and it's a mother trying to kill her.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Right.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, it's like literally how I have a hard time watching Audition. Just when she puts all the needles in them and then sits on them. Because right? But that's the thing. That's what Evil Dead does better probably than any of the other horror movies that are out now, right?
The modern
ones. Yeah, like the new ones. Like now.
The originals are comfort food.
So, yeah, with the originals, let's be honest. Army of Darkness is not even a horror movie. I mean, Army of Darkness is just like...
It's a free-for-all,
That's just the Three Stooges mixed with Evil Dead, mixed with
Lovecraft. Yeah.
Right, it's very much whatever. But that's what I'm saying is, if you looked at, like, the new Evil Dead, then Evil Dead Rise, and now Evil Dead Burn, right, what you're making here is the level of, like, how do I describe this? Like, the make your body ache in places and whatever, like, that skin crawly kind of stuff that's not scary, but, like, okay, all right, like, yeah, that's a bread knife cutting through his hand. That's okay. You know,
well,
like that's,
you know, when
it's,
I mean, the thing with Evil Dead is that Evil Dead's tagline was, a grueling experience in horror, or experiencing grueling horror.
Yeah.
So grueling horror has always been kind of the calling card. And we talked about this when we did Evil Dead, the remake, and then, reboot, and then Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
Is that they have to be like that. That's part and parcel. Yeah, and that was my notes on the trailer, is that it certainly resembles an Evil Dead film. There's no mistaking this for anything else when you watch the trailer, that this is an Evil Dead film. Right? And it's like, in a you know, when there are certain franchises that do better with that than others, and this one appears to be a good fit in that. I thought that it had two really good gags in a short time in the trailer. I mean, we mentioned the drinking hot wax. Like, mister, you don't want to drink hot wax. We all thought it. But then the dishwasher gag, because, you know, when you've fallen on a dishwasher or walked into a dishwasher that is open to let the dishes dry and the lights are turned off and you walk into it and it hurts like a motherfucker, that, you know, that's no fun. So we can all kind of identify with that, right? I mean, the appliances have always been after me. So, you know, just to take it. And as I said, so I, you know, again... you know, everybody's got kind of mixed results with the modern Evil Dead properties, right? But I think this one looks like, I think it does a good job, at least from its advertising, to say, hey, Evil Dead fans, this one will be up your alley. So
this one's for you.
Yeah. This one's for you.
I think it's just like it can't really. I mean, it could have the humor of if it's not going to be Sam Raimi. I think basically it's just take that. Look, before I ever saw the first Evil Dead, I heard everybody who ever saw it talked about somebody getting a pencil stuck in their ankle and twisted. And it was just like, yee. So it's always, so they're just sort of taking, stripped from the comedy
stylistic. Here are the tropes of it. This is how this stuff looks. And like finding young filmmakers who are good at horror and giving them the chance to, because Evil Dead is like it's the gruesomeness, but there's a lot to the like sound design and the editing and stuff like that. So if somebody with their own style can go in and do an Evil Dead movie, but you gotta get people cringing through it. You have to get it, you know. And I noticed with this trailer was really good with like the rhythm without using any of the brooms or, you know, the standard horror trailer noises. It was just a brutal rhythm, but like the crunching in the last Evil Dead and the High Rise one, you know, there was just the use of crunching glass was what almost put one scene over the top. So, and this one seems like it has a lot of just really crunchy, sloppy, gross sound design to it. So
the Evil Dead franchise as a whole, whether it's doing the extremely disgusting horror or the over the top camp, it's the don't give a fuck franchise, and it's of a major, and it's a major release. It's not some direct to video horror series. Like, these are theatrical releases, and it's one of the, just don't give a fuck. You come in and you're gonna know whether you're along for the ride in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and somebody at some point figures out something that they're not, that you're really, people have sort of generally avoid in horror movies as being too much. Like in the last one, it's like, listen, don't have a mom just horrifically stalking and trying to kill her kids. You know, that's not good. Yeah. Or if it happens,
I can understand that being a.
Or if it happens,
and that's a bridge too far for some people.
You could have it happen in a movie, but at some point the mom has to get unpossessed and they have to save her or something. Unlike the Evil Dead, where it's just like, well, you're fucked, where everybody's just basically kind of fucked, you know? So
But the thing is, too, I think that's one of the calling, after we were saying this, like the idea of being gruesome, is that since we've seen so many times, and I don't want to, I know some people don't like them, like the Conjuring movies, they always kind of seem to, even though the evil never is truly ever contained and whatever, and no matter if I'm talking about like The Nun or like La Llorona or whatever, all the different Conjuring and like the Insidious movies and the Sinisters, like even if the evil is never truly contained or whatever, like you still get like some, like, oh, this person's going to be dead. Like, oh, we got that kid back. Like Evil Dead just from jump didn't give a fuck. Like it wasn't like, even when they were funny, just like, okay, what's going to happen? Right, kind of thing. I mean, Army of Darkness is obviously the unicorn amongst everything, right? Because it's the one that's literally not like the others, which is why I think it's so beloved too. But like, but even Evil Dead 1 and 2, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, that person died. Okay, you're like, well, that girl's dead. Like, you know, like, it's not like all of a sudden Ash is able to somehow save his girlfriend. Dude, she's fucked. She's like, she's done. She's, you know.
So, dude, I flake.
And I think that's what... I think that's what people kind of can come to expect from Evil Dead. And, you know, as you said, you got young directors like Fede Alvarez and things like that. Like they don't get huge name actors either. They go and get younger actors. Let people start making their breakouts. I think we're seeing that more, especially in horror again, where so it's hard to, I don't know if you guys, maybe we were alive for it, but remember in like the 90s when horror became hot? Okay, remember Scream? And Scream made horror like a hot thing, and then everyone had to be in a horror movie, right? Now,
everything was a Miramax joint. Yes. Every poster was a two-tone with all the hot teenagers on it.
Yeah, and the problem was is that, I mean, a lot of studios started recutting movies to make them, like, well, we're going to recut this to make it, like, Disturbing Behavior, which I covered on Bots, Bugs, and Babes. They tried to cut things out to make it more Scream, but it's not about that. That's totally a different kind of film. Like, there's different things like that. Where you see, like, a lot of name actors wanted to be in horror because it was the hot thing. Now we've, thankfully, kind of got young directors, people, like, you know, new stars. We're starting to make new people. And what winds up happening is you have directors, obviously, who like working with the same people, and it happens. I mean, every director has the people they enjoy working with. But we were able to get films like X and Pearl and Maxine, which is the trilogy, that I don't think we get. I mean, I couldn't imagine those being films in the 90s. They're much more, you had to have someone take a chance. The movie hits, they make the next one, they make the next one. But like, with Fede Alvarez made, I'm trying to remember. He made,
He did Alien Romulus.
That was his big movie he got to. But before he did that, he did Don't Breathe, right?
Yes, now, Don't, which, was also
which is amazing. Don't Breathe is Stephen Lang is the blind man, but Jane Levy plays Rocky in that. But she's also in Evil Dead. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, I mean, so he's taking people he knows who can act, and he's, and think about it, in Evil Dead, Jane Levy's the, she plays Mia. She's like the biggest star in the whole movie. There's no one else in that movie that you kind of like know as has broken out. And not that she's a breakout, but she's kind of a name. But it's, you're able to kind of get those new faces. I mean, I think, in Deep Blue Sea, we get it, right? You know, Samuel L. Jackson's given the speech, and you're like, okay. And then he gets eaten by, spoiler on a 40-year-old movie, a 30-year-old movie. He gets eaten by a shark, and you're like, oh, man. If a movie's not willing to put the big star all the way through, anything could happen. It's much like Hitchcock killing off, Janet Leigh, you know, not even a third of the way through the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, in Psycho. But that's, that's the kind of thing you start getting with some of these young directors. They're okay with taking chances. And some things hit and some things don't. I know when we talked about Weapons, I know, Luke, you didn't like Weapons as much as, like, I liked it more than you did. But that's fine, you know, because he took a chance and he tried to make something, you know, kind of thing. The same thing with Barbarian. I don't know if you guys have seen Barbarian, right?
I have seen Barbarian.
Right. And everyone talked about what a brutal horror, like, and I watched the movie waiting for, where's the brutal kills? Where's this insane horror movie? Where's this happening? It's okay. You don't have to agree on those things, but the guys went out there and took a chance. I think that's why, I think, as at least for us, guys like Osgood Perkins, guys like Roger Eggers, like those kind of guys who are willing to make the movie that they want to make, hit or miss, we can respect that they're making the movie they want to make. You know, like Eggers has got Werewolf coming, which is going to be fucking unlike any werewolf movie we've ever seen. Why? Because he's not making every other movie.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, Evil Dead Burn. Like we said, let me get the release date. Sorry, guys.
It's looking good.
Yeah. I have a feeling I'm going to like it because I kind of like all of them. Evil Dead Burn. I'm looking for the release date. July 10th. It's coming July 10th. That's what it's saying. So, you know.
So it'll be a fun summer.
A couple weeks from
when it's super, yeah, super duper hot out, which it is everywhere now. Go and enjoy the cool air conditioning and the brutal, gasp-inducing psychological pain horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun for the whole family.
It's funny.
Warm spurt of blood.
I was trying to see they had it listed as why it's got its R rating.
Oh, it's probably for language and sex, I would imagine, right?
It says strong, bloody horror, violence, gore, and language.
Those are my two favorite things.
Right, but I'm saying is sometimes it has like these are just stock. Sometimes you get really funny ones in there. You know, it's like, extreme gore, especially to the lower extremities, you know, like, or things like that. People go very specific with theirs, like, you know, excessive eye trauma, like, or, you know, kind of thing.
Well, because
extreme wax drinking.
Because that also caters to the people who maybe like extreme eye trauma, you know.
Right. No, I understand. I didn't know if someone had already done that for this, kind of like figured out, like, you know, it's always, those are always to me the funny ones where you see it's like, you know, and then one scene of extreme groin horror. Okay. Like,
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm always.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God. The one eye.
I can only get so erect.
What was
please,
the one that? You know, kind of, there was one Simon saw the other day, my younger son. It was like scenes of rudeness, and he's like, "What the?" I'm like, that
one,
like, rude
is another person.
Rude for the MPAA is a very specific bit of diplomacy for fart. Well, that's what rude means, is fart.
Yeah,
okay.
That's like, what do you call it? That's like the Mingan movie.
Yeah.
The Mingan movie, if you haven't seen it, like, there's a scene where Mingan's walking and you see Mingan butt.
Yeah.
Right? And it's rated PG and it says, animated rear exposure. That's like, what? Like, it's a kid's movie. You get there, you're like, oh, it's a Mingan butt. It's not even like a real butt.
Don't we see Minion Tushy in all
of them?
Do
they even have
movies?
Cheeks?
In all of them?
No, no, right, yeah, but the first time, it was a thing.
If the nudity is not in a shower or a bedroom for sexy time, then it's comedy nudity,
yeah.
And that's A-OK.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he got out of the tub and he's animated. Walking, and it's just because he's king. Oh, it's like, but Haley was little at the time. She goes, that's Mingan Tushy. I was like, well, it is, bub. I was like,
I was going to say, could you get away with swinging minion dick? But they got away with
swinging minion dick.
Minions
don't have a gender.
Yeah, they don't.
They're yellow.
Genderless. So I don't think there's anything to swing.
Okay. Well, theoretical.
But everyone has butts.
Theoretical. Is that like how they got away with the nudity of Bart Simpson in the Simpsons movie?
It's called that's what I was gonna say. TMG, the theoretical minion genitalia. You get away with a PG rating, but so did the Simpsons movie got one with an actual real underage child animation. Penis.
That was a brilliant gag.
Yes. That was sort of the inverse of the Austin Powers, Austin Powers.
Well, they do the whole kit and caboodle with that, doing the Austin Powers Bugs Bunny gag, and then they at the very end they do it. Which is funny because for a show that has been so poorly received for so long that they make that movie in the middle of it and the movie is great is really bizarre. You know,
the movie was great. It was the last time I gave a shit about The Simpsons.
I will say there is exactly one other time past a movie not to tangent too badly. You get a chance to watch the episode Cremains of the Day, which is about the death of one of the barflies, Larry. The barfly who has no hair, not the guy wearing the bald cap, who's Sam. But it's about the death of Larry. And it's actually quite poignant because it's about how even the most tertiary people in our lives deserve dignity and respect. And that Larry lived this sad, lonely life, and he considered the guys at Moe's his best friends, and they didn't know anything about him. So they go to his funeral and his mom is like, oh, he always spoke about you boys and how you were his closest friends and all that. And they don't have anything to say. And it actually it's quite poignant. Oof. Like I said, it turns into like a jewel heist in the back half because why not? But that one is worth watching. But no, I agree with you otherwise here. The movie's kind of where it's like, and we're done right here. So, but again, we're not a Simpsons podcast.
We could be.
Simpsons did it.
10,
Simpsons
years.
Did it. That's the name of the Simpsons podcast, isn't it? Simpsons did it.
Simpsons did it. Back when it was actually parodying something, and now it's parodying itself. Yeah.
How did we get to animated?
Because we were talking about the context on the ratings, where they give you what the context of why it reserves a rating.
I got us off. Right, I got us off. Sorry, guys.
Animated penis.
I'm just thinking, how do we, which one are we, which one can we, which one is the best to segue from animated penis into?
Well,
ice cream man?
Because I was going to say, of someone who's going to put straight up male genitalia, comedy or otherwise, it's probably Eli Roth. So.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you remember Green Inferno, the guy just... It's fucking dick ripped right off.
So chomping at the bit to get that dick on the screen.
if you read the book, the dick stays in the picture. No, I'm kidding. It's not a real book. So Ice Cream Man, new upcoming picture from Eli Roth. And now I want you guys to brace yourself for a minute, okay? Now we've talked about a lot of different types of movies on this show. We've really covered the gamut. This Eli Roth movie is kind of a geek show. Is that weird? What's up with that, right? That seems totally out of character.
I feel like I saw the whole movie already. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm watching the trailer.
So, I mean, here's the thing, right? It is a movie, and I'll say this about Roth. Does what he says on it. Movies do what they say on the tin, right? To borrow a phrase from our British listeners. This is a movie called Ice Cream Man, where the kids start eating ice cream and then start brutally attacking everyone who isn't eating ice cream. Okay?
So it's a remake of The Stuff.
Well, it's not quite as violent as The Stuff. I mean, The Stuff doesn't seem as violent as this, you know?
Little Village of the Damned, maybe, or that.
Well, no. Village of the Damned is no. That's different because those are all they're all aliens. But right. It's more
well,
like
he could be an alien.
Could you kill a child, where the children all go crazy and murder all the adults, yeah. Or Children of the Corn?
Children of the Corn.
Or like, I mean,
well, but the thing, yeah. The one that, believe it or not, this. I mean, oh, okay. So the violence and all that. The mean the girl cutting her mom's head off with a bow saw. Right, they cut the guy's head off and start making him eat his own brain. They cut the guy's arm off as he's dialing 911, which I thought was great. All the violence and all that, the gore, fine. What I think this movie's going to end up being, because we see scenes where there are the kids that obviously didn't eat the ice cream, and as an aside, I really hope that the hero kid is like lactose intolerant, and that's why he didn't get the ice cream.
I was going to say, yeah, that has to be the gag,
that,
right?
That is, and you tell me that's not an Eli Roth gag, right? It's like, oh man, he's lactose intolerant, that's hilarious. But anyway, I don't know,
diarrhea,
that's not what he sounds
the last
like,
one,
but.
Right?
What?
He had diarrhea in the Green Inferno, so yeah. that's the last one, I think, right?
Well, Thanksgiving was
is
the,
that his last? No, Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving
was
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
So
yeah.
No, I think Borderlands
but what
was.
What I was taken from.
Oh wait, was Borderlands him?
Yeah, he did Borderlands, but no. I didn't.
Really?
Yes, he did do Borderlands. That's right. I haven't seen Borderlands. So.
I have seen Borderlands. I've seen him.
Nobody's
realize,
seen Borderlands.
I have. I didn't realize it was him. Okay.
But what I took
it
from this...
It certainly didn't strike me as an Eli Roth movie. What?
You know, we all need a paycheck. Yeah.
But what I took from this is that I think this is going to be something along the lines of, like, Assault on Precinct 13 or Dawn of the Dead with kids, right? Because they're yeah. obviously yeah. holed up inside, like, their various safe spaces, right? We see them in the school. We see them hiding on a roof. We see them in the car. So it's going to be one of those types of things where they're under siege the entire time. For you know, we covered both of those films on this podcast, but also Stage Fright, another great under siege horror movie, right? Where the cast is trapped in a specific location and besieged upon by something external. So that was what I really, I was like, okay, yes, I'm sure there's going to be tons of geek show of just crazy gore effects and all that. And I'm sure there's going to be all the hyperactive stuff. All his movies have usually that sort of high energy aspect in some dose, right? But I think that, I don't know, when I saw the trailer for this one, I really liked it. I thought this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, much in the same vein, again, mm-hmm. that Thanksgiving was a lot of fun. As a fan of just, you know, of him doing his, you know, remake of a film that never existed, right, sort of thing with Thanksgiving. I mean, it's like, here's the thing. Roth is, he's an acquired taste, and I think I said this during Thanksgiving, but he makes the movies he wants to make when it comes to these horror pictures.
Yep.
So I can't fault the guy for making the movie he wants to make, and this one looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, so I'm down.
I mean, he makes a lot of movies I don't like, but when he makes ones I like, I like him a lot too. You know,
I'm going to butt in just for a second, because three of the trailers that we've watched are for modern movies for tonight. And I gotta get this off my chest. Why does everything look so fucking clean?
Because it's all sharp.
Every single one of
them.
I know, but it's dry. It's starting to fucking piss me off, okay. man. Like,
no,
it's driving me up the fucking wall.
You mean like the sets and stuff
like
that?
No, everything's
the just the digital photography.
Like, oh, yeah,
Now,
and you would have thought of all the people that would have put some digital grain or real grain on his movie, it would have been fucking Eli Roth. Like, everything looks way too slick.
Maybe he doesn't want it to be like Thanksgiving, you know, that. Maybe he doesn't want to have it look more grindhousey, like Thanksgiving wasn't as grindhousey, you know, as the trailer that he did for it. But
at least that still kind of felt like film.
Well, yes, you know, yes. Hero, let me, I first off, let me preface this by saying I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, right? The ones that stood out of the ones we watched to me visually were the ones that didn't look modern, right? Because they looked different.
Yep.
But let me throw this at you as a counterpoint in this specific case. I think that in this, because of the setting and the subject matter, that it's supposed to look like picture perfect, right? Like Johnny.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, like
yes.
Johnny,
it's suburbia,
like a Johnny Craig Vault of Horror cover, where Jay knows where I'm going with this, where Johnny Craig was great at drawing a normal scene, but there was one thing that was insidious about it, like the kids hiding behind the fence.
In this case, I get it's suburbia. It's everything takes place during the day. Like I guess I kind of get that, but it's just like it's just one of those things. It's starting to fucking drive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah, you're right on the money because it's so visually boring after a while. Everything looks like a Tide ad for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. That's the thing. It does. It looks like
that's not going away.
Looks like ads.
I know it's not going away. Yeah. It's just another one of those things. It's just pissing me the fuck off these days, man.
What I'm just saying is, unfortunately, that's just a thing. It's just, it's not going to go away. It's just going to stick around. And there's, I mean, as frustrating as it might be that that's the case, and it is frustrating, the idea, though, is that, it's going to take certain directors are going to have to then rail against it. Okay? I mean, so off air, guys, we were talking about Tarantino, kind of thing in his movies and things like that, right? Like, guy like Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, Eli Roth, like, I know you're saying, like, this is designed to look kind of picturesque and perfect, but those are the guys who are willing to do things a lot of times that most people aren't, right? You know, like, let's be honest, like, Sam Raimi, there was a time when he would just do whatever the hell he wanted to do, you know, kind of thing, and I think, you know, not making studio movies, he's stuck in the studio movie kind of thing, but you gotta have directors with enough chutzpah to do those things. It's just hard to do.
Well,
the digital photography is fine, but like I don't think we're not deep enough into the quality of those cameras yet that there's a ton of people that know how to make stuff actually still look like film. And I think that's also probably part of the problem.
There's an
element. And I get that there's kind of a learning experience
They know how to do it, but it's also, it's something with film was such a film is such a pain in the ass to work with.
Right? And I get that.
They're enamored with the fact that they can. You know,
you can shoot it and
you can cut it real fast. You can do what you want. You start out with this like sort of bland image that you can tweak up any way you want. You can do anything you want on it. And it's just so fast to get a nice clear image. But at the same time, with the onset of digital film, there's also, which also doesn't need as strong lights to do. Now there's also
they still don't know how to fucking light
the
stuff
movie
in the
that's
dark.
Movie that's too dark, and so many movies are too dark in color tone to like green and gray and brown.
I mean, with those cameras now, you should never have a fucking bad night shot. I mean, you go back to fucking First Blood. What was that? 82?
Right.
Fucking Stallone's lit with a fucking match in a tunnel, and you can see everything.
The temptation is there because you can hold up a couple pads of like LED lights now, and light a scene, and it comes. You can see what's going on, and it looks like it would really look in real life, but that doesn't work in a movie.
Oh, see, and that's my other thing.
That's
when you
not
do that,
what a
you
movie
destroy
looks
the
like.
Artifice.
That's not how you brain. Yeah, and your brain doesn't recognize it because it just turns to mud. You know,
everything just now looks like the fucking AI slop that's all over YouTube.
Yeah. And
I think
those
videos are kind of cheeky and fun, but
yeah,
I don't know.
There'll be a reaction against it, but at the same time, what has to usually happen is something has to come along. Somebody comes from an angle that nobody's expecting and does something that's gritty and dirty, and then everybody goes, oh, gritty and dirty, you know. People are starting to pick up on, like, oh, people like watching physical special effects, and movies with practical effects in them, you know, play better to the mind when you see them and feel and relate better than CGI and stuff like that. So there's a lot more, you know. I mean, the last Mandalorian movie that came out had like at least two major sequences and like a bunch of little cutscenes of that were stop motion animation, you know, and tons of puppets.
And it's great that that's still being done. Like, yeah. And I know it's time consuming, but I mean, something that actually has a shadow casts an actual shadow.
They're also thinking it seems time consuming, but it turns out CGI is time consuming too.
Yep. It is.
And expensive.
And that's the other thing.
So it's like, why not?
But that's the other thing now too, is that all of these effects houses are all getting fucking overworked and they don't give stuff enough time to actually make it look good. Like, and it's fucking maddening.
Well, everybody's also discovering that stuff like Jurassic Park, the original Jurassic Park, where we think of how long ago, you know, think of where you were in
life. That's 33 years ago.
Yeah, and that exactly.
That was right after T2
and
the Abyss.
It still looks beautiful. T2 also, they still work perfectly.
I mean, they also had Dennis Muren on there, and he was going to do stop motion dinosaurs, so he knew how these fucking things were going to move. If you're going to do it digitally, then you got to make it. It still has to have weight, and I feel a lot of weightlessness now.
Yeah, and they worked a lot with their limitations on it and stuff like that. And so, like, people are starting to understand that it's just like, you know, just the fact that technology gets better and better doesn't mean it's gonna, you know, and that you can do it faster it's gonna look and work better as a film.
And I know it's a learning curve. And when Technicolor came out, holy shit, you absolutely wanted to film your thing in Technicolor and make it as garish as possible. But it's just like,
it's just gonna define this era of film, you know, for.
No shit.
And, so,
you know, it's crazy is that, in the what documentary was that in? What's the thing? I'm trying to remember if it was The Thing Expanded or no, I take it back. It was in Search of Darkness in the 90s, one of them. And they were talking about like Jurassic Park and like the idea that they like, well, they were working on Jurassic Park and that's, oh, I know what it was. It was John Carpenter's wife about why Krishan Bakugan didn't get made, right? Because they had the whole thing ready to go, and the guy was like, I have this fucking lizard movie I'm stuck with. And they really didn't believe that Jurassic Park was going to work. Yeah. Right? And that Jurassic Park has literally fucking reset the standard for movies in the early 1990s. You're like, what if it failed? Like, what if it totally tanked?
Right.
Right? Like think about the ripples that it still felt today. Jurassic Park caused... Think about, what if it really failed? Because they talk about that in Aliens Expanded, actually, the ones that they're talking about at Stan Winston Studios, right? Kind of thing, when they're building the garbage, Matt Winston, Stan's son, talks about the garbage bag test. And they would build this armature and they put garbage bags on it and stuff. And they're like, that's how we visualize this stuff. He's like, remember, we didn't have CGI back then. We didn't have, because we either did it with stop motion or puppets. That's what we had. It's like, holy shit, like, you know, the queen alien had to be a big motherfucking thing, right? It couldn't be stuff. Now it would just be fucking CG and look like shit. Like, but then there's a reason why that stuff worked. It's a reason why that stuff has weight and mass and stuff. It just works so much better.
It's like you've said to me for years, right? CG is just another tool in the toolbox, right? Okay, I don't care if you're making a movie or making a bookshelf. You don't reach for one tool to do every job. There are some things CG is wonderful at doing, and there are some things that CG is terrible at doing. Just like there are some things that a hammer is the best tool for, and sometimes you need, you know, a jigsaw, right? One cannot be substituted for the other, and one is not a cure-all for all things. And it's true in art too. Okay, I mean, and that's what we're talking about here. Sometimes shooting something in camera is the right call, and your movie often, even if it's not perfect, is better for it, because it gives the audience, it helps sell the illusion of reality, which is what the 24 frames per second are trying to do anyway. These are still images moving really fast. None of this is real, right? This is the illusion of life. And if it's in the frame, it has more illusion of life than if it's added afterwards. It's just the way it is, right? I mean, it's funny. My son and I, we were watching Star Trek Voyager, right? And it's the one with where 7 of 9 first shows up, and it's species, what, 8752 or whatever?
Whatever, right?
And we finally see them, and they're a big CG insect monster, right? And my son turns to me and goes, you know, Dad, for the late 90s, that's not bad at all. And I said, it's especially not bad on a TV budget. I said, the point was to show that they're not human, and that was the best tool for a TV show to do that, to show them as them being not humanoid, was to do CG. That would have been really hard to do on a TV budget with a physical effect. Now, if you do, but, you know, I was watching, it was on Comet a couple weeks ago, Galaxy Quest. All the aliens in Galaxy Quest are physical effects. And don't they look fucking good now? However many years after the fact, don't they still look good? Yeah. And don't they still look like something that literally could walk up to you? Because they could walk up to you, right? Totally different Galaxy context, Quest, though, but also, same idea.
So in Galaxy Quest, you can tell there was not CG, but there was like digital effects added after the fact to kind of like tweak certain things. But because everything has mass and weight, your eye doesn't catch the fix. It doesn't catch the little bit of cleanup, right? I mean, the trick that it's pulling is the old Tom Savini. I hit the light with the real axe, and then when you see the axe embedded in her head, your mind says it's a real axe in her head. We know it's not. We know he didn't fucking slam an axe into the actress's head, but your mind starts filling those things in. When you see physical there, oh, that's a rock monster or whatever, you know there's not really a rock monster there, right? But the little bit of CG they did, you know, the little bit of computer fixing and whatever, to fix up certain parts of it, to erase certain things, your mind accepts because it's buying the physical effects that's there, you know? So,
yeah, that's what happened with, I mean, everybody talks about Fury Road being, you know, it's, you know, he did it's, it
it's
all
real.
Practically.
It's all in the camera, all real. No safety.
But there was a lot of, you know, CG
cleanup
to expand, to expand the edges of the screen and stuff like that and to clean stuff up. And it's seamless, you know, so it's like the perfect use of it. Forrest Gump is also another one where, you know, early digital effects, and they would just use it to like to get rid of Lieutenant Dan's leg, you know, in a better fashion and stuff like that, and, you know, put Forrest Gump in, you know, historical scenes or something. But it was very, very seamless, because a lot of the times you didn't know what was happening.
That whole fucking movie. Yeah. God, I hate that fucking movie.
What, Forrest Gump?
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
I think it's a well put together movie, and like the first time I watched it, I was like, that was a really good movie. And then I started thinking about it, and then I'm like, yeah, I kind of hate this movie.
The movie had its place in what it's trying to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but, at the end of the day, not every movie is going to change your life for good or for bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that movie served its purpose at its time. It did a lot of things.
Yes.
What it definitely did, though, and I can say this, is it's just like when We Didn't Start the Fire came out, people are like, oh, there was life before me? Like, it just helped kind of people realize, like, what happened back in the day? Why are they so angry? Like,
why is Don Knotts so confused?
Like fucking Don Knotts. Is this Don Knotts? I'm watching you through the window.
I've been staring at you through the window.
I went, my mind went right to the jerk. He hates these cans.
Oh, my God. The jerk. See, that's, not to get us up here, but I don't think you can make The Jerk nowadays even close to a movie like that, because while it's not a Mel Brooks movie, and I'm not saying that you're going to make Blazing Saddles nowadays, can you imagine the amount of trigger that would cause in people? Right? But The Jerk...
They should fucking do that now. Make a sequel. Do a legacy sequel for Blazing Saddles.
Well, they did History of the World Part 2, and that had to be done on what was it, like Hulu or whatever.
It was
Hulu. And they tamed it way the fuck down compared to what it could have been. But
yeah,
it's History of the World is not fucking Blazing Saddles. Right?
I'll just put it this way. They might not be able to make Blazing Saddles today. Somebody might not be able to make Blazing Saddles today, but if Mel Brooks hadn't made Blazing Saddles, I think he'd be able to make it. Somebody can make the equivalent, can and do make like the equivalent of Blazing Saddles. Whereas like they get away with doing stuff, but you got to be good, because if you don't have the talent of Mel Brooks or like Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino's like, you know, nobody's been able to stop Quentin Tarantino from getting behind his typewriter and just like, all right, we're going to hit 15 N-words by the end of this page, and then I can call it a day. And he can do it. He can do it.
I'm just saying, though, Blazing Saddles is a little different than Django Unchained. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. I understand what you're saying, and I get that out for it. But
yes.
Blazing Saddles, it was not just, I mean, there's a lot of the N-word, but it makes fun of Native Americans. The thing is, Mel Brooks, he makes fun of everybody. Nobody is safe.
Yep.
But anyway.
There's every type of stereotype is in there, and like by the end of it, he was like, "Well, I haven't got the gay stereotype, so they smash into a Hollywood production."
That movie's still funny.
Hey, look, all I know is I hear a little catchy tune like that. Come on, I'm doing the French mistake. You can't stop.
The French mistake
sounds like steam escaping.
Sounds like steam escaping.
But the thing. So anyway, I don't even know where. somehow
we went from the ice cream man to the French mistake. So
I think we're getting. I
think we've covered
now,
this one.
Now where are we segue? Well, now what should we segue into?
Oh man,
I guess if the French mistake, there are French people in my movie. My trailer is a short one.
That's what she said.
I don't have a lot to say about this movie. Although I do have a lot to say to this movie. But I'd rather do it as a whole episode because holy shit. So there's a trailer out now for the upcoming release of the finally 4K restored uncut version of Ken Russell's The Devils from I think 1972?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to have a theatrical release too.
It is.
And I mean, there must have been some sort of release of the uncut version of it because I watched it on a streaming Russian channel.
Okay.
Like, and it was a high quality version, and it had the scene. You know, I had read about the scenes that were cut out, so I knew what had been cut out of it, and I saw that this movie was like 8 to 10 minutes longer than the other cuts of the movie. And so I just have to say it is a horror movie. It wasn't what I expected, which was going to be sort of like maybe a kind of semi-dull, but Ken Russell usually isn't dull, but just sort of like an edgelord period piece. And it turned out to be truly a horror story. And I love the trailer for it because this movie has been, you know, suppressed and not released and legend for so long. You know, what was cut out of it? Why? What was, you know, the storyline of, you know, nuns getting possessed by Satan and you know, just the most sacrilegious thing ever filmed, and they had to cut all these horrible stuff out of it. And so the trailer is just very subdued, just little clips of it.
They don't show you anything.
Because everybody knows that anybody who's interested in watching it already knows the reputation of it. It's just very nice, and it just has that feeling of, yes, this is a horror movie. And it just lets the implication and its own reputation sort of speak for itself. But This movie, I just highly recommend seeing this movie when it comes out. It is Oliver Reed, just maybe the performance of a lifetime in it, and Vanessa Redgrave goes flat out.
So technically it's 1971, but it's the, you know, kind of 71. 72, kind of thing, right? So I have The Devils on Blu-ray. I have the all-region release from Spain, which runs at 103 minutes. It is the most, at the time, it was the most complete Blu-ray version ever released. It's the movie itself is partially based on a 1952 book called The Devils of Lodine by Aldous Huxley. And it was actually partially based on a 1960 play, The Devils, by John Whitney, which he based on the book.
So, which were based on a real
which is based historical on a real, yeah, event. Yeah, real historical yes. event, right, kind of thing. And that's the crazy part, is that this movie is literally, there's, this is the UK theatrical version that I have on Blu-ray, which at the time was the most complete version you could get anywhere. When they announced this, this became like the biggest announcement. Like, I know, like, people are like, oh, whatever. Like, some of the groups I'm in, the 4K groups, the whatever, when they announced this, people started like losing their minds. They're like, are you kidding? We're going to get this? The thing is, The Devils, it had a DVD release, but there's never been any spectacular, like, restoration release. It's as much as they can get into it. The problem becomes, I'd say problem. So, Chris, do you remember how long the version you saw was? Do you have any recollection on that?
It was, it was shy of 2 hours, I believe. I don't think it was over 2 hours. Okay, I remember is there was a version of it from a Blu-ray on archive.org that looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the one, the Russian streaming version was like 12 minutes longer.
Yeah.
Than
so that might be the 115 minute. Right? So 115 minutes puts it just shy of 2 hours. What I'm saying is what happened was there are things cut. It's hard to talk about The Devils without talking about The Devils, you know, kind of thing, right? Kind of thing. So but, like, there's things cut for a reason. And one of the most, like, I'll just do this one. This is a very famous thing that was cut. Big sequence in which the nuns tear down and ravage a life-size icon of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
right?
Statue of Jesus, yeah, on the yeah. cross.
And
yeah.
they literally have an orgy fucking this thing.
Yeah, they are, yes, they are yeah. ravaging, they are, the nuns are going, yeah. yeah.
So, it was cut from the film. Ham. It was cut from the film and lost. For years, lost. A film critic actually discovered the footage years later, and Ken Russell was very big about reinstating that scene that they found, I guess it was in the Warner Brothers vault, that they found it, but it was not really, but Warner Brothers was like, we don't want to do a director's cut. This is years ago. They want to do a director's cut. They don't want to do this out. And Ken Russell has been adamant about he needs to get the uncut version as much as they have out there. Because
and
it's a lot it's, cut from this movie.
Yeah, and it's, and I gotta say, a lot of it, it's fine without it. Yeah. You get the point of it. There's the one scene with the femur, though. With Vanessa Redgrave and the femur. That scene, while you could cut it out, it's not going to affect the story at all, but thematically and as a scene in it, it's a big scene in the movie, you know, and yeah. it's just a, it's an amazing scene in the context of what's going on. And it's rude as hell, but it's amazing. And that needed to go, that, like, the movie suffered without it. The scene of the nuns with Jesus, and the movie would be fine without it. But I'll modern day, it's maybe if you're very Catholic, you know,
right.
or something. Yeah. And it's definitely like sacrilegious. But at the same time, in the context of what's happening in the movie, which I don't want to say too much about it, it takes on a different meaning to it. It's not, this isn't like a movie to be like, let's see how many people I can offend. The offensiveness is there to be for you to take offense at, but the director takes offense at it too. Yes. You know, so it's very well like that. So it didn't feel to me as I was watching this going like, oh damn man, like this is gonna, you know, maybe in 1971 it would have come in hot in the theater. Now it's like we've seen, you know, audiences of today have seen, and horror audiences have seen so much worse than this. And you know, we've already had sacrilege to, you know, in a sexual way in The Exorcist, which is one of like our most beloved American movies, up there with The Godfather, you know. So
but yeah, well, so one of the things, just want to mention this, Oliver Reed has always said, always said this was his favorite movie that he ever made, right? Vanessa Redgrave's put this, she said this and Charge of the Light Brigade, right? The Charge of the Light Brigade. She said this was the two finest examples of post-war cinema that Britain ever produced, and is one of her best movies she's ever been in, right? And that this movie is so controversial and so, like, there's so much a stigmatism around the devils, right? It just, like, Ken Russell's the devils. You just say that, and people who are movie people are like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Like, even if you have never seen it, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. Like, you just know about it, you know what I'm saying? But yet the two main leads, who are name actors, it's not like it's, you know, two nobodies you ever heard of. It's Oliver Reed and Vanessa Redgrave, right? Both are like, this movie's so good. It's so important. It's so, yeah. But again, a movie doesn't have to be safe to be important or good, right? Because a lot of times movies are safe or boring. And, you know, is this, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not going to be everyone's cup of tea. So don't get all pissy if you watch this and you're like, I hated this movie. Okay, great. It's your opinion. You're welcome to. It is certainly, and I agree with you, Chris, 1971, the level at which what was acceptable on screen compared to 2026 is vastly different. But I still think that the when we finally see this thing fully restored and uncut and like and it's gone to Bible, I think it's still going to impact people because they're just maybe not ready for that on the screen again. You know what I'm saying? Like it's also
you know? Not just like, you can't just chalk it up to somebody being edgy, yeah, like trying to present it. By the time you're getting to that stuff in the movie, you're absorbed into the characters and all of that. So it has a little more of an edge to it because you are personally getting involved in the, you know, in what is happening. So like the things that happen have a little more punch to them, but it's almost more like in a Shakespeare. This reminds me of like, I think Eggers must have been very influenced by Ken Russell, especially this, you know, a historical drama where obviously visually it's been, and you know, what's in set design and world building, it's been really researched, but story wise, it kind of goes wherever it has to go, you know, or whatever. It has its own modern, you know, sort of take on it, but it reminded me of an Eggers movie in a lot of ways. But if you get a chance to see it in the theater, go see it in the theater. It's gonna look beautiful. Yeah.
They definitely said though that they're gonna be releasing this 4K. They're putting it all together. The whole idea is to get this thing all together and, you know, put it out there because, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. They go, we feel like people need to see this. You know, people need to, like, this is something that people should see and people should whatever. And it's like, awesome, you know, kind of thing.
I agree.
I can get behind that 100%.
I agree with that. And, it's worth it just for Oliver Reed's performance. He He chews it up.
Doesn't he always?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, though, you know, it's funny is because we, depending on your age and your Oliver, people's Oliver Reed knowledge might vary. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I always remember him as being Leon. You know, he's the werewolf in Curse of the Werewolf, right? Yeah. But he's also, you know, the, what's it called? What's his name? Crap, in Gladiator, he's the...
He's Proximo.
The guy who owns...
Proximo.
Yeah. Proximo. Thank you. Sorry. I had to think about it. I was like, do you want to die, Proximo? That's right. I remember what it was. What I'm saying is, like, you know, and people... Some people don't realize that Oliver Reed made a lot of movies, you know, kind of there. And he's a very good actor. It's just... He wasn't, you know, an American leading man kind of thing. So... He made movies in Europe. He made movies, whatever. He made the movies he wanted to make, you know, kind of thing. He wasn't just making a movie, you know, like big summer blockbuster kind of thing. He was not Charlton Heston making things and whatever. So anyway, but I digress. But yes, that's coming this fall. They're talking about it. It's going to be a big. They definitely are. There's definitely going to be showings in L.A. and New York for sure. But I think it's going to have a like an event release kind of thing where it's going to be like. Only playing so many showings, you buy it. Like it's like a Fathom event.
It's going to show up at like your local art house theater.
One
of the art house theaters in your town. But it would be well worth checking out for sure if you get a chance to on a big screen.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, so that leaves us one movie for tonight.
Yes. Oh, this movie, like, yeah, these two movies segue perfectly together. This is the biopic about Burt Ward.
Yes. Oh, Chuck.
Hey, it wouldn't be cinema without an endless wave of, let's just say, Jaws ripoffs or Jaws-inspired films. So I decided to tackle, to have us all watch the trailer for Chum. It's a movie that actually just came out about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's an IFC film, independent films.
Yep.
This is a director I'm not familiar with, Jonathan Zuck. I don't even think he's got any other things I can click on here to even look at. But, Chum, from what I gathered from the 2 minutes of this trailer, it's, what if the Orca only had Quint, and what if Quint was beyond certifiable?
Right.
That's what this movie is.
I think I saw it as Jaws, a combination of Jaws and Saw, and maybe it should have been just called Jaw, but in the Saw font, because it had that sort of like...
You absolutely could.
People captured by a psycho.
An even worse version of Quint ostensibly rescues some people on his boat, and then he uses them for chum.
Does he kind of look like a psycho James Cameron?
Yes.
So he looks like James Cameron? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So my take on this, just real quick, you know, my thought on this. My note was, in a world where Sharknado has 5 sequels and movies like Ghost Shark and Bad CGI Sharks exist, like literally the movie Bad CGI Sharks, look it up if you haven't seen it. This is a unique take on a shark movie. And my oldest, who loves sharks, she was watching some of these with me. She said, "Dad, can we watch this movie?" So to me, this is a win, straight out, right?
I do really want to see this. This looks like a blast.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. But there's a movie that came out last year. I covered it on Bots, Bugs, and Babes. It's called Dangerous Animals, about a serial killer who kidnaps women and men by running a diving thing and then feeds them to sharks. So I'm not saying it's the same idea, but it's a little bit. Now this guy is going after one specific shark.
Yeah, this guy's Dangerous Animals. Ahab.
Yeah. No, this is definitely taking that Moby Dick part of it that we don't have in Dangerous Animals. But Dangerous Animals, if you haven't seen it, it's good. But it's a guy who's like, he's kidnapping women and keeping holding them hostage and then feeding them to sharks. And then filming it, which
as one is wont to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're gonna do all that, you got to get it on film, because otherwise it didn't happen. But when I started watching, they did
manage to snag who was an up and comer at one time. Now she's just kind of a B tier actress. They got Alice Eve in it.
Yeah. Well.
So I don't know how they finagled that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think she's a little too old to be playing the 20 something, you know, chick. I think. And I think these people are all supposed to be in their 20s. I mean, she looks great for 44, yeah. But.
It's the time-honored tradition, going all the way back to Carolyn Monroe in, what was it, Slaughter High?
Yes.
Yeah?
Carolyn Monroe can be in whatever the fuck she wants.
But so there's no way believing that she was in high school. So.
Oh, right.
She got kept back
10 times. Yeah.
But then she's exactly the same age 10 years or 5 years later, whatever. Anyway, again, this looks like a lot of fun. I definitely think it's going to be interesting to watch, you know, kind of thing. Don't get it confused, though. There's another movie called Chum with an exclamation point at the end. It came out in 2024. Not the same movie. Just in case anyone was wondering.
Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, make sure you look at the title.
I mean, what for all the world, what this made me think of, right, is just recently, and Jay, you mentioned this earlier, we watched Primate. Right. And one of the things I said on Primate was that it was kind of a throwback to the late 70s, 80s exploitation type of film where it was high concept. Right. But it lived up to the concept in that case. I think this one has the potential to do that. This is kind of a high concept. It's like, oh, it's called Chum. And the poster has a big ass shark, but it's not a shark movie. It's like, oh, well, are you safe in the water or out of the water? It's like, okay, yeah, this actually, because it kind of takes that turn about halfway through the trailer. You're thinking it's one movie, and I'm like, okay, it's a shark movie. And that's like, oh, okay, no, it's not. So that alone is a little bit of a hook. And I think this has some real potential to be a fun watch just because it's a good take on that. And again, not to make a pun, but in a sea of shark movies, right? This is at least doing something a little bit different.
Whoa!
Ba-dum-bum.
It was one of those trailers where you know it could be the movie could be bad or it could be good. It looks like it's probably good, and it's the kind of movie where there's only so much you could show in the trailer without you know. And I think a lot of the trailers and the one you know we haven't got to a lot of the trailers that we watched for this, but. I think trailers are sort of doing a little better these days with not giving away the whole game in the trailers, you know. So, you know, sometimes they might show a little too much, but you're not aware of it. Like, there were times when I was just watching the trailer and I'm like, at the end of the trailer, I'm like, why would I even bother going to see this movie? You know, and they would sort of give you the whole arc of what was going on and stuff. And, yeah, this one, they're getting better at just sort of giving you the general idea. And this one gives a general idea, and I think it's all going to hinge on James Cameron in it. Whether he's appealing as, you know, and plausible as a bad guy in it. So if his character is fun, I think it will, you know, propel the movie forward until the time when we can't wait when you know when he gets eaten by the shark, which should happen in the movie unless they're planning on sequels, unless he's gonna have a 70s ending. But I think we all want to see him.
No, if it was the 70s ending, then there'd be an affair and the shark would fuck James Cameron's wife or girlfriend.
Nobody would see it coming.
Well, we don't know that doesn't happen.
Right. So it doesn't. It's not ruled out.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
Well, yeah.
So, I think we've done it all tonight.
There's the bottom line.
Got our mandatory Simpsons quotes in.
The bottom line here, folks, is that we've talked about this before, but with all the digital platforms and other avenues of distribution, they need movies. They need hours, right? And horror films traditionally, and still to this day, are relatively inexpensive and relatively easy to sell. So there is a lot of horror films coming out. A lot of them coming on streaming services, a lot of them coming to theaters, a lot of them kind of doing a hybrid sort of situation. So any type of movie I think that you're interested in from a horror standpoint, you could probably find something that would scratch that itch. I mean, if we're talking slashers or ghost movies or giant monsters or whatever, it seems like we've got a good amount of stuff. And if you just spend a little bit of time on your YouTube machine, you can probably find yourself something that looks interesting. You know, and again, whether it's any of the current trends, right? The loud noises are scary, or, you know, hey, here's public domain characters. We're going to make a horror movie out of it so Disney doesn't sue us. Or, you know, hey, remember that movie that you watched like 10 years ago? Guess what? That series is still going on. Here's a sequel. We're not going to tell you the number. We're just going to give you a colon and you're going to figure it out, you know? So we got all sorts of
this. I already have a colon. Yeah.
Depending on what you eat before, your colon might be impacted. That's a horror story of a whole other situation.
Oh yeah, I got some buffalo tenders from the local supermarket at work like a week and a half ago. And you know, I'm pretty good with spice, you know, but man, that blew my fucking O-ring out real bad.
Oh god, dude, of all the things I've lost as I've gotten older, my iron gut is the one I miss. I mean, Jay could tell you, I used to be able to eat absolutely anything. And now it's like, oh.
Well, his Vulcan metabolism, he can eat a bowl of termites.
Well, I used to joke around with Luke. I was like, I used to be able to eat, like, bark off a tree, no problem. Now if I have two Doritos, I'm like, oh, blot don't feel so good. You know, kind of thing. It's just not good.
I love Jay using the quote under from 40. Transformers.
Don't turn 40.
Jay couldn't pick Blot out of a lineup of Decepticons. That is fantastic. I freaking love it.
But I've used that line forever.
Yes, me Blot so, don't feel so good.
Just real quick for folks, because again, when this drops, things should all be available and stuff like that. Whatever. If just a couple quick recommendations, because I know we're talking about trailers here and whatever. Just a couple quick recommendations. And these are streaming or should be soon to streaming. They Will Kill You, if you didn't catch that one, is in the theaters. That's currently streaming. I want to say MGM Plus. I watched it. It's a fucking hoot. You will love it.
I want to see that one. Yeah.
It is, dude. It's like, I don't want to give too much away, but there's lots of like sword stuff and killing and
they're saying it's Evil Dead meets Kill Bill is what it sounds
It kind of like is John Wick Evil Dead. That's kind of like what it is. John Wick Evil Dead. That's it. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. I'll tell you that right now. All right, I was watching this going, oh my god, Haley would love this because she wasn't home. The other one I can recommend, obviously, we talked about Primate. If you haven't watched Primate yet, where you been? Because that thing's great. Took Haley to see Obsession in the movie theater. We have been talking about this movie for weeks now. Haley's entire field hockey team, she's the only one who had seen it originally. There's like 40 girls at practice. They're all talking about it. It's crazy how much you're going to think about this movie. Now, I'm not saying you're going to love this movie. I'm not saying that because there's people like, this movie's boring. It sucks. It's whatever. It hit for me. It hit for Haley. It's hitting with this the current younger generation 100%. It's kind of infecting everything they're talking about. I had students at school coming to me saying, Mr. J, did you see this yet? I go, I did. Did you? They go, no. And I'm like, okay, I can't tell you anything because I don't want to ruin what's happening. I said, but if you enjoy horror of a certain kind, and again, it may not be for everyone. That's supposed to be coming to streaming. They're supposed to put the uncut version out.
I was going to say, Obsession, also a really big hit with Animotion, right? That was a huge hit for them. That was a brave choice to put that over the end credits. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I wish they did.
Can you imagine the pop? Those are two. Can you imagine the pop? You get the end credits and it's da 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 da. That the whole house would have come down, man.
Yeah. Well, for people our age. Yes.
I mean, I haven't seen this movie, but I get the impression that it's like hit something in the Gen Z of just like it has defined whatever it is that makes dating really shitty in 2026 for being a young person.
I said, you know what makes dating really shitty? Members of the opposite sex. Full stop, okay? Just gotta leave that.
Bingo.
Same sex. If you go that way, that's
it's a recurring.
It's a
recurring theme in movies, but I think this hits. It probably hits whatever flavor of how it plays out. You know, has just hit the zeitgeist for somebody who's because that I'm hearing a lot of like Johnny Bueno, who does the Garage Sale Gloat, went with his daughter, who's 22, something like that. I think she might be 23 now. God, I'm old. But
yes, you are.
But you know, and he was talking about it. They were having long conversations about it, and I think she got he said. She was just like, "Dad, that movie really disturbed me." And he's just like, "Yeah." What was his conclusion? Were like, "Women are crazy," and she's like, "No, no, he made the woman crazy." So it definitely is a conversation starter, and it definitely sounds like it's like I guess like every second of this movie has been cut into little memes, and like the Zoomers are watching it, you know. Yep. And so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
When we cover it, because I got a feeling we're going to cover it, I can tell you a ton of other stuff. But I don't want to tell you all that. If I tell you all the stuff that I already know about how things are done and whatever kind of thing,
you will not
appreciate to watch the movie because you're going to be too busy.
That's on my list.
And then we can talk about it.
They Will Kill You is on my list, and I still have to get to Send Help. So
just like I was going to say, Send Help is another one just now available. Sam Raimi. Doing, you know, Sam Raimi kicking the dick stuff, which is okay. Good. I mean, it's much more Drag Me to Hell than the original Evil Dead. Let's go with that.
And I love Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, like sure. Drag Me to Hell.
So I just wanted to, there's a couple other ones. I don't know if we ever mentioned this. It's 2025. If it's a release. If you didn't see Companion, fucking watch Companion. It's good. It's the woman. What's her? I forgot her name. The one who is in Heretic, who plays the sister Jane, the one with the darker hair, she's in it, and it's
is this the one about like the AI robot.
She's I mean, it's better if you don't know that, but yeah.
Oh well, fuck, cut that out of the episode.
But that's it's really good, well worth watching, and I cannot recommend enough. If you're of a certain age, both In Search of Darkness 90 to 94, which was out already, and 95 to 99 came out last year, both of those are outstanding. Just put aside like 10 hours to watch them. Yeah. You know, they're great. But The Thing expanded. Okay, so I can talk about this now because it's out. Because I actually signed The Thing where I couldn't talk about it before. But I can talk about it now. The Thing expanded. I was part of the people who got to see the rough cut and got to see whatever, and I had to sign all these things that I wouldn't disclose information or whatever, right? Now that it's out, the rough cut that I watched that was 5 hours or whatever was outstanding. The version that came out is even better. They went and got Kurt Russell would not do it originally. They had the whole thing without Kurt Russell, and it was fucking great. They got Kurt Russell, and his stories made it like a whole different documentary to me. It is so fun. All right. If you like The Thing, this is it. I mean, they should never make another documentary about The Thing ever. Aliens expanded is in the same boat. The Thing expanded. Right now, for those of you who maybe remember us talking with about Slasher Trash, that's coming out. They're still working on that. In Search of Darkness, the 1970s is now up for pre-order. I put a link up, whatever. That's going to be really, like, just so many good things out there if you're willing to spend some time watching. The documentaries are great. But The Thing expanded, I watched it the other day, all the way through again. Fucking amazing. But The Thing is, like, one of the most perfect movies ever made. So, you know.
Well, that's the thing about a documentary is documentaries are easier than a fictional story to watch in like pieces too.
Sure.
You know, you can find a little spot where you can pop out till the
They do.
Day.
They make it. Like they make it so it's segmented up and whatever. What I'm saying is the thing itself, the movie, the thing, is such a perfect film in what it is, even for its imperfections. That's what makes the movie so, like, the things that you realize, you're like, fuck, that's so good. Like, why does that work so well? Because it fucking works. Like, it's a remote controlled car with a head on it, but it fucking worked. Like, why does it work so well? Because it just does. It elicits its emotions from you. When you watch the film and you hear the guys talking about, well, we shot this scene this way, then we tried it this way, then we, and like, John Carpenter, like, was like, look, dude, we're doing this. And like, you realize how the thing was, how the movie was shot in the order it was shot and why things work. Just great. But I'm just saying, I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if that's streaming anywhere yet. Right now, I mean, I have my copy, obviously, and I have my digital, because I was a backer and whatever. But well worth the watch. Just take the time. And especially, like I said, the In Search of the Darkness, the two 90s ones. And we had David Warner on to talk with us about In Search of Darkness 95 to 99. Like, the 90s are such a weird time for horror movies compared to the 1980s, because the 80s were like the fucking 80s. Like, it's like, I mean, I'm not saying the 80s were perfect, but you can look back a lot with rose-colored glasses, and people sometimes look at the 90s as like, it's just a bunch of schlock. There's so many good movies in the 90s, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of schlock, but there's so many good ones. But, like, you forget how impactful Scream, Blair Witch, like, things like those movies were, like, that just hit. Like, and then even small movies like Tremors and, like, From Dusk Till Dawn, like, things that were not box office smashes, you just forget how big they were. The Sixth Sense, like, things like that, to just are like, oh, fuck yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Whether you love them or hate them, they definitely were movies that helped shape what we're getting now. The directors we're getting now cut their teeth on horror in the 80s into the 90s, and that's why we get the movies we get. And those who know what they're doing go back into the 70s and 60s and look at the stuff and come bring stuff forward. So anyway, I'm done with my rant. so
yeah, go out, like I said.
Yeah, so we
go bookmark some stuff, people.
We don't know what we're doing next.
Movies.
Yeah,
we never know what we're doing something. Next.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that there is a lack of choices, and that's the best thing about it.
Yeah.
Not a horror movie, but Project Hail Mary. Fucking awesome.
Yes, I heard it's outstanding. I've not had a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a great book, too.
Years. Yeah. I am 3/4 of the way through the book.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It is, it's very good. Yeah.
I am rereading The Shining for the first time in 20 or 30 years. Cool.
The Shining? Don't you mean The Shining? Ha! You want to get sued?
You want us to get sued?
I love you. I love you, motherfuckers,
Simpsons,
so
man.
Much.
That's
I love you guys.
I think
I'm
going to
cut it,
right
at that. That was heartwarming.
Yeah,
that was gotcha. Heartwarming, man.
We just hit stop.
Box.
It's going to start.
Summertime is here, need something to keep you cool. Now summertime is here, need something to keep you cool. Hey little girl, I've got something for you. I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by. I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by. Now I cool your blue girl, the guarantee I'll satisfy. I got cream sandwiches, Dixie cups, popsicles, and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by. I cool your little girl, guarantee I'll satisfy.
visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and a number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I want my flavor, little girl. I got to be just right for you.
Test, test, say duh.
Duh.
Good luck.